ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్కి నాభిహృదాద్ ఫ్రమ్ ద నేవల్ లేక్ ఇహా ఇన్ దిస్ మిలేనియం సతహా లైంగ్ అంబసి ఇన్ ద వాటర్ యస్యా వన్ హూస్ పుంసహ of the personality of Godhead. Vijnana, of the total universe. Saktihi, energy. Aham, I. Asam, was born. Ananta, unlimited. Saktihi, of the powerful. Rupam, form, Vichitram, variegated, Idam, this, Asya, his, Vivarnvataha, manifesting, Me, onto me, Ma, may not, Ririshtha, vanish, Nigamasya, of the Vedas. Giram, of the sounds. Visargaha, vibration. The Lord's potencies are innumerable, and as he lies down in the water of devastation, I am born as a total universal energy from the navel lake in which the lotus sprouts. I am now engaged in manifesting his diverse energies in the form of the cosmic manifestation. I therefore pray that in the course of my material activities, I may not be deviated from the vibration of the Vedic hymns. Quite a powerful verse actually. నమో ఓం విష్ణు పాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీ నితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పచ్చస్తాదేశతారిణే హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకంఠ రాధకంఠ నమోస్తుతే తప్త కంచన్న గోరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వంచకల్పాతురుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధువదేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సీకింగ్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ద వైష్ణవాస్ హు హవ్ అసెంబ్ల్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ క్లాస్ సో దట్ ఐ కెన్ షేర్ సంథింగ్ ఆఫ్ మీనింగ్. ఇట్స్ అ వెరీ పవర్ఫుల్ వర్డ్స్ బికాస్ జస్ట్ నౌ ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ క్యాంటో ద యూనివర్సల్ క్రియేషన్ ఇస్ సార్ట్ ఆఫ్ బిగినింగ్ బికాస్ స్టిల్ నౌ వీ హ్యాడ్ ద కన్వర్సేషన్ బిట్వీన్ Maitreya Muni and Vidura, and now the aspect of Visarga, which means transformation, because the Srimad Bhagavatam always mentions that the unit factor or the building, because there is no jiva or there's no living entity in the whole cosmic manifestation which can create things. For example, we see everything in this classroom, this table, this chair, this mic, everything is a transformation of something, right? Because let's say, for example, this mic is form of metal, is form of plastic, it's form of various elements. So somebody actually took the endeavor to actually go mine these minerals, came back, transformed it to this mic which we are using right now. In a similar way, everything we see in this room, even this Bhagavatam paper, everything is a transformation of energy. There is nothing which was produced, because everything is actually produced from the Supreme Personality of God Himself. So this third canto, especially after this chapter, it dwells into how the first universal being, Swayambhu or Lord Brahma, is actually starting to transform things and creating the material universe. And this verse is a very powerful verse, because I feel this verse, even though we speak of Lord Brahma, who is the, you can say, the controlling deity of creation, but you will see that in this verse, he is also praying to the Supreme Personality, Ma Rishta Negamasya Giram Visarga, please, please, please protect me, you know, please save me, that so that I don't deviate from the Vedic recitations or the Vedic hymns, because I am going to start creating. And when you start creating, there's a sense of proprietorship, there's a sense of that, okay, I've created this, you know. So this sudden, you can say, a ego or mode of passion comes into picture. So in this verse, you can see that Lord Brahma is also showing his vulnerability, that please, you know, O Supreme Lord, please, you know, I am given this very, very difficult task of creating this material universe, but please don't let me deviate from the Vedic hymns. And Vedas are actually spoken by the Supreme Personality. So he's saying, please don't let me deviate from the instructions which you have given in the Vedic scriptures. And it's very interesting, because just a few verses later, I think on Friday, the verse 3:9, chapter 26 verse will be spoken. And in this, Lord Brahma is saying, Maitreya Muni says, Viramasa Khinnavat. So when Lord Brahma was praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was tired of all the penances and the you can say meditation he was performing. So it says Virama Sa Khinnavat. Virama means he stopped. Sa Khinnavat means as if he was tired. So even Lord Brahma actually got tired of performing all the penances and all the austerities for creation. Similarly, verse number 27 says, Visanna Chetasham Tena Kalpya Vyati Kara Ambasa. Because Lord Brahma, he came from the lotus which originated from the navel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he saw everything around, it was just darkness, complete darkness. With his austerities, with his prayers, the Supreme Personality had given him the knowledge internally. But when he was seeing everything around, there was very powerful winds blowing. Vyati Kara Ambasa means the waters of devastation. We always hear that this material manifestation is going through cycles, and when the whole Srishti or the universe will get devastated, everything will be covered in water. So Lord Brahma could actually see those waters and the violent waves and the intense, you can say, waves and the wind. He was actually scared. He was scared that, am I actually capable of performing this task of creating this universe? So even Lord Brahma, I mean, what to speak of like small jivas like us, even Lord Brahma was tired, he was scared, and he was intensely praying that, please let me, you know, empower me so that I can perform this task which you have given to me. So Supreme Personality sees that he is actually, you know, he's devastated. Srila Prabhupada is writing the word depressed, that he was, you know, not sure that whether I'll be able to perform this task. The Supreme Personality is giving him empowerment. And even after that, we'll see that how as he is performing the creation, the kind of hurdles and the challenges he is facing. The Supreme Personality clearly says, look, I am empowering you so that even though you are creating this universal form, but you will never be affected by the mode of passion. So he starts, Lord Brahma starts creation. And the first thing he creates, it says in the Bhagavatam, the first thing he creates in this material universe is self-deception, the sense of death, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership. So all negative things, you know. In a very interesting verse from the Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, 37 verse, it says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kama Esha Krodh Esha, Rajoguna Samudbhava, Mahashano Mahapapma, Vidhi Enam Iha Vairinam. So it says the nature of lust is so powerful that if you don't fulfill your lust, let's say you have attraction towards something, or let's say you have desires towards something, and if that desire is not fulfilled, we get anger, right? I mean, any jiva will get like intense anger that I really wanted, but I couldn't get that, you know. So that frustration is there. And let's say if he is able to actually attain his desires, if he is able to like conquer what he was planning for, then he has attachment, he has moha. And believe me or not, the anger after the desires not getting fulfilled and the moha, the attachment, both of these things are created by Lord Brahma. And it was the first thing which was created in the material manifestation. But then when he started it, I mean, I always see this as, these days I'm trying to use ink pen and I'm trying to actually do some like art and stuff. So whenever I try to, you know, fill ink in my fountain pen and start writing, some ink always spills. Or I brought some watercolor and the first thing which I started was the color kind of spatter all over the page. So this kind of things always happen. Similarly, when Lord Brahma started creating the material universe, the first thing he created was all like this kind of like negative energies, like self-deception, moha, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership. So Lord Brahma kind of felt a bit, you know, bit unsatisfied that, okay, I've been given this task, but it's all, you know, like weird, like not so positive energies are being created. So he kind of concentrated his mind and he prayed to the Supreme Personality. And the second thing he created was the four Kumaras, Sanak, Sananda, Sanatan, Sanat Kumar. And these great rishis were born. So Lord Brahma asked him, my dear sons, you know, I've been given this task. Please, please help me, you know, with this creation. So Sanak, Sanandan, Sanatan and Sanat Kumar, the moment they were born, utterly renounced. They were the renunciates of the highest order. So they told Lord Brahma that we are not interested in this creation, getting married, having kids, having progeny. We are not interested, you know. We are here to achieve tapobal. We are here to actually achieve the Supreme Personality. So don't ask us to create, like, to, you know, get engaged and have progeny and all this kind of stuff. We are not interested, it's not for us. So obviously Lord Brahma, out of so much endeavor and austerities and difficulties, he had, you know, got four sons and they said, no, we can't help you, sorry. So Lord Brahma got a bit angry, but he tried to kind of like control his anger. But still, they say that anger is not displayed through words but through eyes. So if somebody's angry, you have to look at their eyes. And even though the words can be silenced, but the eyes always speak the truth. So if somebody is angry, their eyes will say that they're angry. So in between the eyebrows of Lord Brahma, suddenly a baby just comes out. It's of a blue and red kind of hue. And this baby cries intensely. I mean, so intense that the whole universe is kind of shaken. And then he asks, oh Vidhata, what is my name and what is my place? Like, where do I belong? So then Lord Brahma says, you are Rudra because you cried so intensely. And son, you are also my son. So let me actually give you a task of creation. So he assigns him different places in the Bhagavatam sets. He assigns him that in these places, this will be your wives. So all Parvati, Uma, Ambika, they are all wives of Lord Shiva. And he says, son, please help me with this creation. And he assigns him the task. And Lord Brahma goes back to his planetary portion of the universe. And Lord Shiva is given the task of creation. And as soon as, what can you expect, like son, like father. So Lord Shiva starts progenating. He starts like having progeny and having children. But all of these children are same and are as powerful as Lord Shiva. They are all holding tridents. They are all having matted hair. They are all doing, the intense destructive dance. And like snakes and scorpions and like very, you know, vicious and angry and aggressive kind of creatures start manifesting the universe. And as soon as they come out, they start like killing each other, breaking the universe, cutting all the trees down, cutting the mountains. Like everything was just getting devastated. So Lord Brahma comes back from his meditation. He sees that just imagine like you enter into a primary school, and in the classroom there's no teachers, there's only small kids. The kids are just running around, they are throwing colors everywhere, spitting the powder, somebody's chewing on the chalk, and the teacher gets like totally bewildered, like, oh my goodness, like why did I leave them alone? So it was a similar kind of situation that when Lord Brahma came, he saw all the progeny which came from Lord Shiva. They were all destroying everything. They were just breaking everything apart. So then he went to Lord Shiva and said, no, stop, stop. It's fine. Like whatever creation you have done is fine. But you know what? You should do actually meditation, because if you do anything, you are going to break things apart. So why don't you actually go and do some meditation? And in the Bhagavatam, it says, Srila Prabhupada specifically mentions that your services will be called upon, when the time for destruction of this universe will come, your services will be called upon, we will ask you that please come and help us destroy things, because I think creation is not your cup of tea, because I can see that what's happening. So when the time of destruction will come, I'll call you. And you can use all your energy, your tandav nritya, to just break everything apart. So that time we'll need your help. But for now, just do meditation. So you can see from this, examples that how Lord Brahma, when he's creating, he's just going through these various hurdles. Like he's creating moha. Then he's comes up to this Sanat Kumar, the four Kumaras who don't listen to him. Then he finally comes up to Lord Rudra, and Lord Rudra is so intense, is so powerful that he just destroys everything. So these kind of energies he is dealing, these kind of entities he has to deal. Another, you can say, a hurdle when he was creating was the attraction towards the opposite gender. And a similar example we can see in the pastime of Samudra Manthan. Does anybody know who is Mohini Avatar? Yes, and why was Mohini Avatar, why did Lord accept the Mohini Avatar in the first place?
To get the nectar away from the asuras and give it to the demigods.
Yeah, exactly. So Mohini Avatar had come because It's a very interesting pastime, because it says that till the time the demons had actually snatched the pot of nectar, the Supreme Personality was actually like favorable to both the parties. So he was helping both the demons as well as the demigods. But as soon as the demons, they saw that we are more powerful. So they just ran and they just snatched the pot of nectar from Dhanvantari. And that is the point of time when the Supreme Personality, you can say, started favoring the demigods. And to, you can say, get the pot of nectar back in a very, you can say, non-violent way, without hurting anybody, without killing anybody, he took the form of Mohini Avatar. And you can say the attraction towards Mohini Avatar was so powerful that even Lord Shiva, he was bewildered, you know. So the pastime goes like this. So after the Samudra Manthan had happened and the pot of nectar was distributed to all the different, you can say, demigods, Lord Shiva actually came to Vaikuntha planet. He went to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, Supreme Master, he will offer a lot of prayers and he will say, I have been so fortunate that I have been able to get darshan of all your avataras. But I have not seen this avatar of yours, you know, the Mohini avatar which you just took. So it's my intense desire that I want to see that avatar as well. So the Supreme Personality says, look, I reincarnated as Mohini avatar because to just serve a purpose, that I wanted a nectar from the demons back to the demigods, and that's the only purpose. And moreover, you know, if you see such a beautiful lady, this only lusty people can actually appreciate that beauty, you know, because it's not a, you can say, avatara which will be remembered upon, or which you can say in generations to come I'll be worshipped upon, because it was just there to fulfill one specific task, and I've fulfilled those tasks. And it's moreover, it's for people who are of lusty desires, that this Roop, this Mohini Avatar will actually, you can say, be appreciated. But I can see, I mean, he didn't say, but in his mind he thought, anyway, but Lord Shiva, you have, you know, won over lust, because there's a very interesting pastime that when Lord Shiva was performing tapasya or austerity, Kamdev wanted to actually deviate him from the austerity. So he was, you can say, doing all sort of things. He was playing nice music, very soft breeze, and, you know, to kind of like remove Lord Shiva from his austerity. But Lord Shiva, being the powerful yogi, he just opened his eyes, and from the anger from his eyes, you know, Kamdev, you can say, lust personified, was killed. So the Supreme Personality is saying, anyway, Lord Shiva, I know that you have won over lust also. So anyway, if your desire is so, that you want to see the Mohini Avatar, I will actually, you know, help you, or I will show you the Mohini Avatar. So this conversation just happened, and Lord Shiva actually had gone to the Vaikuntha planet with his wife and all his associates. So all his associates are like all the Bhutas and the Pretas, Nandi, everybody was there. It was like a whole assembly of people when this conversation was happening. So when the Supreme Personality said, I will show you that form, suddenly the Supreme Personality just disappeared. He just disappeared, and Lord Shiva thought, maybe the Supreme Personality went into a room, he will apply makeup, he will put the sari on, he will come back. So he was just waiting there. And suddenly he could see there was like a doorway, or like a window or a doorway. He could see there's a very beautiful garden outside the, you can say, the structure. And in that garden, there's like very beautiful wind blowing. And a very beautiful lady is actually playing with the ball, like in her hand. She is having a sari and she has a belt over her waist. And she's just playing with the ball, and the ball like flies up into the air, falls back, she will catch the ball. And you know, like, and she was very, very, very beautiful. So Lord Shiva is very interested, like, oh my goodness, who is this pretty woman, you know? And all of this is happening whilst Uma Devi and all the associates of Lord Shiva are just standing there. So Lord Shiva is like more and more interested, like, oh my goodness, who is this lady? Oh my goodness, like, look at her, like, she's so beautiful. Oh my, like, he's kind of like speaking of this kind of words, you know. And then, as you can say, and the Supreme Personality, you can say Yogamaya, his own energy is so powerful that the wind blows, or sari kind of like opens up a bed, and Lord Shiva is just now unable to control himself. He just runs after her, like, and Mohini Avatar is looking at Lord Shiva as if kind of saying that, you know, such beautiful personality, you know, because Lord Shiva is actually very beautiful, like, he's very handsome. Even though he wears all this weird stuff, he has matted hair and tiger skin. Shishi Radha Gokulanda ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gorantai ki, Shila Prabhupada ki. So Lord Shiva is actually very beautiful, like, he has very beautiful features. So even Mohini Avatar is looking at Lord Shiva as if, oh my goodness, such a beautiful, handsome man. So seeing this, Lord Shiva is also even more enthused now, like, oh my goodness, she also likes me, you know. In this, you can say, college and universities, we always used to deal, you know, like, she likes me not. So that kind of thing, like, even Lord Shiva says, oh, she also likes me. And then Lord Shiva just starts running out after Mohini Avatar. And Mohini Avatar goes, like, into the forest, into the garden, and Lord Shiva just following her everywhere. And purposefully, Mohini Avatar takes Lord Shiva to all the ashrams near, you can say, you know, where in the Himalayas, where all the rishis are doing austerity. So in a way, Lord Shiva, Mohini Avatar, or the Supreme Personality, wanted to show that no matter somebody might be so renounced and somebody might be so powerful, but when it comes to lust, or when it comes to the attraction towards the opposite gender, even the highest of personalities can fall down. So we have to be very, very careful. So Mohini Avatar is taking him to all the different, like, you know, caves and austerity, like, places where all the rishis and munis, they are doing austerities, and just imagine, like, all these rishis are doing like tapasya, like, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, and they're thinking within the heart, like, you know, Lord Shiva, you know, you're such a great, you know, tapaswi. I want to be like you, you know. I want to get boon from you. They have all these, like, different desires, and suddenly they hear a sound and they see, like, Mohini Avatar just rushes by, and Lord Shiva is also running by, and suddenly, I mean, all this, like, you know, expectation that Lord Shiva, oh my goodness, and the same personality is running after a beautiful woman. So this kind of things happened, and then suddenly, after some time, Lord Shiva will realize that actually, oh my goodness, like, this is the illusion, this is the Mohini Avatar, because he thought the Supreme Personality is still about to come as Mohini Avatar, this is some other woman. But then he will realize that actually, oh my goodness, I have been taken over by the illusionary energy of the Supreme Personality. But he didn't feel any, like, remorse or any, like, shame out of it, because he knew that I have been defeated by my own master. Because there's only one Supreme Personality. We say Lord Shiva is Mahadev. He is the greatest of all the devatas, or all the Mahadev. So because, and the Supreme Personality, I have been defeated by my own master, so he didn't feel any remorse. And the Supreme Personality is also consoling Lord Shiva, saying that, you know, there's nobody else who can actually come out of my illusionary potency by himself. Because nobody went to Lord Shiva and said, look, you know, Lord Shiva, this is illusion. He was able to come to that idea by himself, right? So the Supreme Personality also said, you know, that there's nobody in this universe who can actually come out of my illusion by himself, but you are able to achieve that. So, and this very beautiful, you can say, conversation goes on between these two personalities. So, in a summary, not only Lord Brahma has to deal with, we can say, the demons and the rakshasas, the negative energies, but also, we can say, personalities, or where he gets attracted to. So one might say that Lord Brahma is, you can say, he gave all the Vedas. He is the, you know, highest living entity in the whole material creation. So he has so many different attributes or so much knowledge. So if such, you can say, challenge situation comes or such difficulty arises, why is he not able to remember all the Vedas or all the knowledge he has? Or why is he not able to remember that I am the highest living entity of this material universe and able to control himself? Why is this that he is specifically asking for blessings or for empowerment from the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Any ideas? So the question is, like, why is Lord Brahma not, you can say, depending upon his own energy, his jnana, his position? Yes, Prabhu?
Yeah, I was thinking two things about it. Yeah. One, obviously, to reflect his humility, in the sense that the devotee should always seek blessings of the Supreme Lord. And secondly, to also show, like, how powerful Maya can be. Yeah. So in that sense, that no matter how elevated you are, you should always take precaution and have the blessings and guidance of Vaishnavas.
Very nice, Prabhu. Yeah, 100%. And in our Vaishnava line, we always take blessings. I mean, because in the Jnana Marg, maybe people can do austerities, they can attain power, but in the Bhakti Marg, we always seek blessings and empowerment. Very nice, Prabhu. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu.
That he's intelligent enough to know his limitations. So.
Very nice, Prabhu. Yes, 100%. So he's also able to know his limitation, that there will be certain, you can say, creative entities where even my knowledge or my jnana will not help, because he'll be, and even in the example of Mohini Avatar, I mean, Lord Shiva, he's the greatest of the Tapasvis, right? But still, when Mohini Avatar came, Lord Shiva just forgot the knowledge, forget that he's, you know, he's the proprietor of the control of all the bhutas. He's the controlling deity of destruction. Any other points? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So when Brahma came into consciousness, he tried himself by his own endeavor to find where is he coming from, yeah, and who is he and what to do. So he tried looking down the stem, and then when he saw celestial, the Garbhodaka ocean, the celestial waters and all the tribulation, then he came back and then he thought, okay, what to do now? Then he he need to do meditation, he need to do austerity. And then after doing austerity for that many years, then he got to realize, then he finally came to face with Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's his own realization, okay, he is my source and he is my master. So whatever energy and whatever task I have been handled to, it's by him and for him. So this realization himself, he told that, okay, he is not the Supreme. He has a task to handle over the universe, but he is not the Supreme.
Yeah, very nice, Prabhu. I think it's a very, when you're giving this answer, this verse just came to my mind. The school of hard knocks, you know, like all the challenges he was facing, and he was able to recognize that these are my limitations. And as you rightly mentioned, that he by himself, he went down the stem of the lotus, he couldn't find his creation, he went everywhere, and then he realized that there's some power above me. And it's very interesting that in this purport for this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes that an ordinary Brahmana may fall from the Brahma Tejas or the power of Brahmanical excellence due to his association with many fallen conditioned souls. Brahma, as the supermost Brahmana, is afraid of such a fall down, and therefore he prays for the Lord for protection. And when we speak of falling down from Brahma Tejas, I thought this example from the Bhagavatam is very, very interesting, and it rightly applies that why is Lord Brahma seeking blessings or seeking prayers for protection. So have devotees heard of somebody called Ajamil? Ajamil? Yes. I mean, no, Ajamil, the topic of Ajamil will always come because there's so much to learn from his example, right? So it says in the Bhagavatam that Ajamil was a reservoir of all good characters. So he was from a place called Kanauj. Kanauj is modern day Kanpur. So it's Kanauj is a village, you can say it's a town on the banks of the Yamuna river. And the Kanauji Brahmanas are said to be the one of the, you can say, highest order Brahmanas. Because in Brahmanas also you have different hierarchies. So Kanauji Brahmanas are said to be the highest because there's a very interesting, you can say, statement. It says, Teen Kanaujiya Sola Chula. That means if three Kanauji Brahmanas come, they will have three, like 16 different Yagna Kunds and 16 different like cooking pots, because they're very sophisticated in the way they prepare the havan. For example, if they cook sweet rice here, they will not use the same chula or the same stuff. They will cook something else in a separate pot or in a separate Yagna Kund, and like that. They're very, very particular on how they perform the Yagna or the havan. And Ajamil was actually a Kanauji Brahman. He was actually a Brahman of those that highest order. And he had such good qualities, you know, good conduct. He was always truthful. He was very, very respectful towards his guru, towards his parents and everybody. He was very pure. He was very, very learned. So all good qualities coming from a great lineage. So nobody could actually think that even Ajamil will actually go through this such a intense phase in his life, right? So as most of the devotees know, his father asked him to get some wood for the havan from the forest. So he is going into the forest and he suddenly hears the sound of like laughing and smiling and this weird kind of sound. He looks around, there's a Shudra man who is intoxicated, and there's a Shudrani, there's a lady who is also intoxicated, and both of them are actually kind of like holding hands, hugging each other and singing songs and, you know, like doing, you can say, things which are not, you can say, in the society norms are not appreciated. So the first thing which came to Ajamil's mind, it was not like Ajamil being a lusty person suddenly saw this and he was like, oh my goodness, such amazing, like I've been just wasting my life doing such austerities. Look at these people who are enjoying their life. I want to be like them. Yes, no. Ajamil first actually tried to stop him. He tried to actually look away, you know. But that moment was so intense. It says that, why did Ajamil look? Because he had the choice to look away also, right? So it says that all the sins of Ajamil had accumulated from all his past lives. And it forced him to look into that direction. So it says, one carries his karma, his pile of karma with him, and it creates situations or circumstances where, you know, entities or living entities are put into those circumstances where the karma kind of plays. So in this case also, all the sins of Ajamil had just accumulated together, and they kind of force Ajamil to like, look, so amazing, you know, they are having such a nice time. And as Ajamil is looking towards them, he is actually in his mind, the sixth canto, first chapter 62 verse, it says, Stambayan atma atmanam yavat sattvam yathashrutam na shashaka samadhatum mano madana vepitum. So translation of this is Stambayan. He was trying to control himself, atma atmanam. So he was, even though he looked, he felt attracted towards that lady who was intoxicated and who was hugging this other man. But he still tried to control himself. Stambayan, he tried to control himself. Yavat sattvam yathashrutam. So yavat sattvam means that he remembered his great lineage, that I am Ajamil, I am coming from this great lineage, I've been a Brahmana of so and so personality, living in this very respectful family, I've been and yatha shrutam. So shrutam means all the scriptures what he had heard of. So in the scripture it says that one shouldn't actually look in a lustful way towards somebody else's, you know, some other woman apart from his own wife. So in his mind he still remembered that I am a brahmana from this family. I have read in the scriptures this shastra that I shouldn't look at this personality. He was, in his mind, all his learnings from the last 16, 17, 20 years just came through. It was coming and he was seeking that, you know, I shouldn't please, like, I'm a brahmana, I'm from this respectable family, I shouldn't look at this. The Dharma Shastra says that one shouldn't look at this woman like this. And he was just remembering all these different points, but still, na shashaka samadhatum, that means, still, even though he remembered his position, he remembered his family lineage, he remembered all the knowledge, all the jnana which he had assembled from reading all the Vedic scriptures, but na shashanka, that means he was unable to samadhatum, he was unable to control his feelings. And it says mano madana vipitum, he was attracted by the cupid or by the lusty desire. So in this example, it's clear because yavat sattvam yathashrutam. So even though Ajamil had used all his knowledge, used all his, you know, remembering all his family lineage, but nothing actually helped. In such situations, only the blessings and only the Supreme Personalities, you can say bhakti or devotion, will actually help us. Because this verse speaks about how Ajamil being a brahmana of a highest order, but when such situation came, none of his jnana, none of his knowledge, none of his lineage, family lineage or his position or power, nothing helped. It was only the blessings of the Supreme Personality of God. It was only, you can say, the devotion towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead which had saved him. So that's the reason why Lord Brahma, apart from all the other reasons which devotees mentioned, that he was not, you can say, based upon his own energy or on his own endeavors or his own, you can say, powers, but he was seeking blessings. And from this example, we can also take that example because for preaching purposes or for, you can say, devotees are going in the marathon at different places, when there's a Christmas market going on, or you can say we are going for like programs, or you can say Harinams, and even devotees who are working outside as Grihasthas, sometimes they might to actually go and attend a company get together and things like that. So there might be situations where, you know, that things might provoke us in different way, whether it's intoxication, whether it's attraction towards the opposite gender, because we are all carrying that, you can say, you know, our sanskar from our previous lives. But if we try to just say, oh, I am this great devotee, I've been initiated, twice initiated brahmana, I've been giving class for the last 5 years, you know, these things won't affect me. No, that's not the case. It will still affect us, you know. So if, as devotees, as brahmacharis or brahmacharinis or as grihasthas, we are going into such situations where there might be provocation in different ways, we always need to base ourselves in the blessings and in the bhakti and the devotion towards Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because no matter how much we study, no matter how much jnana we have, how much knowledge we have, what position, what sort of power, like position we have or this and that, nothing is going to help you. It's only our devotion, is only the blessings of the Vaishnavas and the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the blessings of our spiritual master and the sadhus which is actually going to help us in those kind of situations. So with that, it's 8:35. I'm going to end the class. Any questions? Yes, Mataji? Mike?
I just wanted to share the pastime of Haridas Thakur. He's the example of how being fixed in devotion to Krishna, he was not bewildered even when the prostitute came to him.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to ask if you could read us the purport for this verse.
Sure. It's very nice, like 8:35, the devotees are still enthused. So the purport goes like this. Every person engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord in this material world is prone to so many material activities. And if one is not strong enough to protect himself against the onslaught of material affection, he may be diverted from the spiritual energy. In the material creation, Brahma has to create all kinds of living entities with bodies suitable to the material conditions. Brahma wants to be protected by the Lord because he has to contact many, many vicious living entities. An ordinary Brahmana may fall from the Brahma Tejas or the power of Brahmanical excellence due to his association with many fallen conditioned souls. Brahma, as the supermost Brahmana, is afraid of such a fall down, and therefore he prays to the Lord for protection. This is a warning for one and all in the spiritual advancement of life. Unless one is sufficiently protected by the Lord, he may fall down from his spiritual position. Therefore, one has to pray constantly to the Lord for protection and the blessing to carry out one's duty. Lord Chaitanya also entrusted his missionary work to his devotees and assured them of his protection against the onslaught of material affection. The part of spiritual life is stated in the Vedas to be like the edge of a sharpened razor. A little inattentiveness may at once create havoc and bloodshed. But one who is a completely surrendered soul, always seeking protection from the Lord in the discharge of his instructed duties, has no fear of falling into material contamination. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any other questions?
Thank you. Hare Krishna, thank you. Question about Lord Shiva. He was bewildered. Was it Mahamaya bewildering him or Yoga Maya bewildering him?
You mean Lord Brahma?
No, Lord Shiva, Muhuni Murti.
I would say it's the Yoga Maya bewilderment, bro. I mean, I have to check it, but because it was his own internal energy, right? I mean, it was not a material manifestation which was happening. It was his own internal energy from which the Mohini Avatar had reincarnated. So I would say it was, you know, it was not Mahamaya but Yoga Maya. But there's something which I'll need to check upon maybe from the seniors as well. Yeah. What's your take on that, Prabhu?
It's tricky. Yoga Maya makes him lose control. It seems to be, if one is spiritual, one should be in control. So if you're seeing the Yoga Maya potency, surely you'd be completely in control. You wouldn't be bewildered. You wouldn't be fooled or tricked. It's something. It's a difficult one.
Yeah. that's a very. I think that's a very valid point, Prabhu. And I think that's something like for me to do a homework.
And I'm just also thinking of Rukmini when the kings, the demonic kings saw, they didn't actually see her. Prabhupada said they weren't qualified to see her. They saw the external energy, but they were still bewildered by that. So I'm wondering if it's something similar or whether it's something different.
Yeah. It could be the case, because even in Ramayana we see that when Sitama, the form which Ravana took was actually just an illusionary form of Mother Sita, right? Because Mother Sita had already vanished into the fire, and what Ravana had took, because Mother Sita is actually Lakshmi Devi himself, and there is no great Rakshasa or demon can actually touch or hold Mother Sita. So the form he took was just an illusion which had come out. So yeah, exactly. That might be the case.
Hare Krishna. I recently came across this pastime, and there's a purport where Srila Prabhupada answers this question about what bewildered Lord Shiva. This is 8.12.31. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Shiva cannot be victimized by Maya. Therefore, it is to be understood that Lord Shiva was being thus harassed by Lord Vishnu's internal potency. Lord Vishnu can perform many wonderful activities through his various potencies. Towards the end he says, since Lord Shiva was being harassed by the women, it is to be understood that this was being done not by women, but by Lord Vishnu himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly, and we'll see in that pastime that even though when Lord Shiva realized that, oh my goodness, I've been tricked by, but he didn't feel any shame, right? Because if it was a separate living entity or some other energy, he would have said like, oh my goodness, like I've been, you know. But after he came out of the illusion, the Bhagavatam specifically says that he was not remorseful. He didn't feel any shame because he knew that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's above me. And it's natural for me to, you know, get attracted or illusioned by his energy. So exactly. Because it was Supreme Personality God himself. That's why Lord Shiva was illusioned. Yeah. Okay. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.